You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody, and good evening. And Tom sends his very best wishes to everybody. About half an hour ago, he got called to a very important meeting to some investors, and he just wanted me to pass along to everybody that he absolutely wouldn't miss one of these shows unless it was absolutely necessary, and it really was. It's for one of the projects we're working on. Good evening, everybody. I'm happy to see everybody here. We got some really good entertainment lined up tonight and for everyone. And I'm going to go take a look in the chat room here. And by golly, let's see who all's in there. Well, we got A. Durr, Bill Green, Dr. Crick, East Coast, Flycatch, Gentle Giant, Henry, I'm a Naysayer, Jim Dawson, you're on there too. Well, you're one of our guests. Johnny Paulson, hi Johnny. JP, and Mike K. in Ohio, and Mount Monarch, and Rosebud. My goodness, my goodness. Hi everybody, and thanks for, there's more. Tommy A., Texas Lone Star, and then the guest, 1896. Hi everybody, and thanks for visiting us and in there. And I see, boy, you're pretty busy in there. Well, everybody, let's see, I'm going to do some shout-outs also for some of our sick people. I told everybody last week that Leroy Blevins had a family member that had cancer, and he had to go visit him, and he missed our show. He's out again today as well doing the same thing. Of course, Mitch Waite, a couple weeks ago, lost his mother, and I'm sure they're still, although it's over, I'm sure they has deep scars in their family and relationship they had with her. There's a couple other people out there, and I don't have their names, but they also have loved ones that are that have some medical problems. Just to tell everybody out there, there's all the people that we know and even the people we don't. We send our prayers and best wishes for fast recoveries and to everyone. Well, everybody, tonight our first guest did not make it yet. Hold on, let me go make sure he didn't make it. No, he didn't make it yet. We had a gentleman from New York that was going to be on, and he was going to, he had some very fascinating encounters coming on. But what we're going to do is we're going to just go ahead and we're going to talk with our second guest, who has been out there with Father Ray, Dave Ortiz. And I'm going to unmute you here, buddy. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Well, hello, Marco Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing super. How about you?
Oh, doing great.
By golly, I just want to ask you a question. I mean, I'm in San Diego, as everybody knows, right? And the weather here the last the whole summer has been unbelievably good. I mean, like today was, I think it got up to almost 80 degrees, right? And tomorrow is supposed to be 78 or 90. You know, the highest is like 90. And everywhere else that I see, it's pegged. I can't believe it. How is it out there where you're at?
It's about in the mid-90s right now. But
that's not too bad.
Yeah, and it's actually sliding slowly into fall. We've actually had a fairly normal summer in the Four Corners here. But in the past couple of weeks, we've been in the mid to upper 90s. And actually, I was looking at our weather forecast, and we're actually sliding down as we head towards Labor Day.
Well, that's good. I was talking to a couple people in Texas. they couldn't even get the air conditioner.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Dave, a couple seconds here.
Okay.
I got somebody calling me on the phone. I'm going to mute out just for 2 seconds if you can't tell them that I'm on the show.
I'll be here.
Here I am. I'm back again. Our friend was trying to dial in, and he kept getting the wrong number.
So I
don't know what to tell him. Everybody's got the same numbers. Everybody else is dialing in. So either it's wrong or something's wrong, but he's dialing from his cell phone, so everything should be okay. Dave, why don't you go ahead? Now, the last couple weeks there, you and Father Ray have been out gallivanting around doing something that I always dreamed about doing, hiking and hunting at the same time. Well, not hunting, but researching at the same time.
There you
Could
go.
You tell us a little bit of what you've been doing, what you've been up to? I do have all your, you sent me some pictures and a write-up, and I will have it up this week. I'll have it up there. I've got everything. I started working on it today, and I'll have it up there for everybody to see. Some really beautiful pictures. My golly, God's country where you're at.
Thank you. Yeah, actually here in the Four Corners, there's a big variety of scenery and vegetation where Father Ray and I live. It's high desert. We sit about a little over a mile high, and 45 miles north of us, across the border in Colorado, are basically the southern end of the Rocky Mountains. And I've heard reports up there for actually many years, since I was a young person, of Bigfoot or just things that just people would just relate to me. Said, I don't know what this was. It was a bear. It was a two-legged creature, tall. Oh, you're getting that call again.
Go right ahead. Just go on, Dave.
Okay. And I've been very curious, to be up there. We also have our Bigfoot reports actually here in the Farmington area, the Navajo Reservation, which is adjacent to the town. But I I wanted to search the mountains as well, too, just for more variety and see what's going on. So I asked Father Ray if we could just take a hike. Actually, I wanted to climb a peak. I had been in an accident 6 years ago. I was on a bicycle and got hit by a car, and I haven't been able to hike since then. I've been in recovery, and actually I've strengthened up enough to do some, try some hiking. So originally we were going to go hike up a 12,000-foot peak, and my truck wouldn't make it up all the way up one of the canyons that we were accessing. I have a bad fuel pump, not a filter, but a pump. So we made it about halfway up the canyon, and I knew of a side canyon that we were gonna that has a road in it and not much camping or anything, just a lot of great scenery. And in 1989, I had somewhat of a weird experience up there of a possible creature possibly stalking me in the late evening. So I thought, well, let's go up this canyon and go check it out. It's just in the general area where that happened. So we did. We went ahead and parked my truck. Had a great hike. It was about 3 miles. It was originally going to be 4 miles one direction, and a little over 2,000 feet of vertical, up to about 11,700 feet, and starting at 9,500. My leg did very well. I did have to rest. Had to soak it in some of the creeks to get the swelling down a little bit. But Father Ray, I'll tell you, is an incredible athlete. I asked him several times, "Are you okay, Father Ray?" And I was kind of halfway suffering, and he just climbs like a mountain goat.
Wow! So it doesn't seem likely either, does it?
Yeah. Well, he's a thin built man, but he's very incredible. He was my inspiration. I said, "I'll go a little farther, Father Ray." So we climbed up there, and I saw a tiny little water, I guess a little waterfall. I wanted to take a picture of it. I wanted to get a scenic. I think I sent you that picture too.
Yes.
So, I went and put it on the tripod in the water and everything. Took a picture, and I just happened to look around, and I saw some. Actually, both of us saw some mud that had been disturbed by something. And we looked closer, and we actually saw just sort of remnants of toes, more of an impression because it looked like it had been raining on it. But I said, Father Ray, I think we have a footprint here, and it looked like the footprint was single file. It wasn't there wasn't any dual footprints. So we just observed it, took a picture, or a few pictures actually. And I said, well, let's move on. Let's continue climbing the four wheel drive trail. We got up probably another 1,000 feet higher. And about another 2 miles, and then we found an impression on the rocky trail. It looked like a large hooded creature or thing had stood there and just actually displaced the rocks. And then next to it was another impression. See, this is in rocky on a rocky trail, a four-wheel drive trail. You couldn't actually see toes or anything, but you could see where something heavy had just actually moved the rocks away. Next to it was a smaller imprint, maybe. Oh, I don't know, maybe a couple of feet to the right. And it didn't have the impression, because there was more grass and a harder rock. But we just loosely determined that it could be a Bigfoot. We tried to look and scrutinize it and think that it was possibly a bear, but we couldn't find any more tracks that would show it to be quadruped. So then we saw some more tracks, another impression behind it. But it was definitely in a bipedal position. So we started kind of, thinking, well, I think we have our person here we're looking for.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty active little area there, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. And actually in this area where we've hiked, we have heard reports even up to last year. The Forest Service rangers were actually telling people, a friend of mine, he says, yeah, there has been some sightings of Bigfoot in this area. And that makes a positive comment that, there is activity going, especially with the government worker saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we climbed probably another, up the trail, probably another half mile. And what was happening, it was getting late, and the altitude, we were already at 11,200 feet. we were still below the path that we originally intended to climb, but I told Father Ray, I'm getting tired. We better turn around at the three-mile mark. And as I was standing there, I was just about ready to take my camera pack off, and something hit my pack with a... It was a small stone, but with incredible force, and it hit it very hard. Father Ray, I said, did you hear that, Father Ray? He heard it. He goes, yes, Dave, I heard it. You know, and so we looked up the hill, and we didn't see anything. There was scattered fir trees, but not a sound, not a movement. And I kind of wanted to go up there and check it out, but I didn't really have the energy.
So I understand.
Yeah, so we stood there for just a few extra minutes. Nothing happened, so I said, well, Father Ray, we better get down the hill here. It's going to be dark if we don't start moving. So we went down the hill there, the trail, and was very uneventful. It was very beautiful. I mean, we just had to stop a couple times. I rested my feet in another creek, and that was pretty much the adventure that day.
Wow, some of the pictures you sent me are just absolutely phenomenal. I didn't know it was that beautiful out there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you,
guys. Yeah.
It's very diverse. You know, once you start getting out of the high desert here, which is very quickly, you start hitting about 6,500 feet, and the vegetation starts changing into a pine forest. And a little higher up, about 8,500 feet, you really get into the spruce, aspen, and fir, which we were in. And we actually got very close to timberline up near the tundra, but that's as far as we could make it that day. So, but I didn't do too bad with the leg that's been healing. So,
wow, that's pretty good, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. It's better than being in a wheelchair, right?
Oh, absolutely. Those were some really bummer days.
I know. Well, you know, Dave, you've had a couple of other incidents happen in the past months or so here around the area. I think a couple we got some emails in on, and of course the guy never got back with you, but it's pretty interesting the activity that's going on around here. Can you tell us just in a couple minutes what the different kinds of activity you've been hearing about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even before all you got that message, out there just west of Farmington, we were following up on reports with our friends. You remember, can't remember their names now. I haven't been talking to them lately.
No, I know what you mean.
Oh, Mario.
Mario, Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah, there they go.
Mario Marcus, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw on Facebook, actually, they said there hasn't been any activity lately, but there earlier in the summer we were getting, you know, frequent activity, and we believe this is coming out of the river areas. We suspect they're looking for food and maybe just habitating and maybe abandoned homes or trailers in that area.
Well, that was a pretty neat place where they had back there, where the trailers were all, I mean, a whole bunch of wrecked trailers.
Exactly.
Perfect place.
And, you know, this isn't like miles out from anywhere. I mean, this is like not too far from civilization. You can see homes, you can see people mowing their yards, and this is where all this is happening.
My gosh.
And the activity, though, has increased. It seems like we're getting a really active year this year. And that message that you had got from the people south of Shiprock.
Yes.
That's occurring near the, between Shiprock and Gallup areas. That whole area just seems to just be a magnet for Bigfoot.
Wow.
The story that these people were giving us that a Bigfoot was on top of this woman's roof, and she heard all this noise, and she went up there and screamed at it, and it was throwing, I guess the next day when she saw the damage it did, it was throwing tiles everywhere.
Wow. Goodness.
Yeah, and then there's a lake over there in the Navajo Mountains of the area there. A lot of screams. The campers were reporting screams. Just howls. And I know that area fairly well, too. I wanted to go in a camp out this year, but I've been doing so much school during the summer, I wasn't able to really get away.
Yeah, I understand.
Nevertheless, though, I with my new classes schedule, I think I'm able to go investigate some more back there. And, of course, I'll take somebody with me. So I'm not going out there by myself, that's for sure.
Oh, I don't blame you, no.
Yeah. But
well, gosh, Dave, I tell you, thanks. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope you don't mind, but we're going to have you on every once in a while here to give us a rundown of the whole area out there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
There seems a lot of activity going on every once in a while, and I'll just keep well, you know, we'll keep in touch. We'll have you on the show again soon to follow up. I'll have your story posted this week. It's a really good story, and it's got some beautiful pictures. And thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Father Ray. Yeah, thank Father Ray. Say hi to him.
Oh, yeah, I sure will.
And I'll mute you out. And we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back with our next guest, Richard from New York.
Okay, sounds great, Marco Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave Ortiz, and he and Father Ray were on a hiking mission. I'm going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with our friend Richard from New York. And here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And that was Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Everybody, I want to tell you something. Everybody's always sending me emails and sending Tom emails and trying to figure out how to get on. Of course, you can go to searchingforbigfoot.com and our websites and get to the store. However, there's a real simple way to do this, and I put it out in my emails in the emails I send out with the shows, and it's real simple. You want to go up and take a look at the movies, what we have, with the store for all the different other things we have, T-shirts, hats, I mean anything you can think of. It's www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Shoppingforbigfoot.com. And that's our store. And you can get right in there easy. You don't have to go through any of the other links. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest, Richard from New York. Richard, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Oh, good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Richard's here, and he's going to tell us about some experiences and things that he's had in his area in New York there. Richard, how did this all come about?
Well, I was told by a reputable person that there was a animal sighted in the landfill where I come from. And it was a worker, and being a former person who worked every day, you don't make a report unless you're pretty sure of something, because you're going to get ridiculed.
Oh, of course.
And
you're going to get ridiculed whether you do or not. All you got to do is see one, you're going to get ridiculed.
next to this landfill is a 3,300-acre preserve.
Uh-huh.
And I said, they adjoin each other. There's got to be something there. So I went by myself, and the first day I walked in there, Marco, I found about a 17-inch footprint.
Whoa, man, and that's good.
First day. And I've gone about 10 times. I always go by myself, and I'll be truthfully, it's kind of spooky.
Uh-huh.
Because I know what's in there. And I've sent Tom a bunch of photos. Every time I go in there, I find footprints. And the ground is so hard that I'm 250 pounds. I don't even leave a mark, and yet I'm getting these big 19 and 20-inch footprints. Maybe 7 or 8 inches wide.
I understand that.
Time. And I've got it to where there's at least four individuals in their family group. And the time before the last, I went in with my 10-year-old granddaughter. We found a bunch of prints. And I'm walking up this incline, and I'm talking to her, and I hear like this snapping, popping noise. And I look up, and I see this thing go across the trail. It looked like a chimp on all fours. It was so fast, I couldn't believe it. Supernatural speed.
Oh, wow.
And if something can move that fast, what's the chances of people like us chasing it and finding it? They're not going to be seen unless they want to be seen.
Well, that's true. And this isn't the first time we've heard that. I mean, we've had a few occurrences ourselves. These creatures are very fast.
And I think the little ones are faster than the big ones.
More than likely, yeah. Little ones, how little?
About the size of a chimpanzee.
About 3-4 feet.
I would say bigger than maybe 5 feet.
Maybe 5 feet.
It was on all fours. It was on all fours.
Uh-huh.
About the size of an adult male chimpanzee.
Uh-huh.
And
the feet or the footprints, when you see the footprints, are they more human or are they human footprint looking?
No, they're very flat.
But yeah, but I mean, has it five toes?
It's five toes. And,
okay.
And I was, Tom, or Marco, I was finding these, they look like three-toed footprints. You know
what yeah?
I mean? And then I said, no, they can't be. They're too, not long enough. There must be bear footprints because they do get bear in there.
Yeah.
I think it's the knuckles and the palm.
Well, that very well can be, yes.
I think
they do. They do. We've had instances where we actually have a few videos where they're knuckle walking. In other words, knuckle walking like an ape, but they're primarily bipedal. They run and everything else on their 2 feet, so
right.
they're not running. But they do knuckle walk, and that was really interesting. We have a couple of videos where we had that. A couple years ago. That's really interesting stuff, yeah.
I've had two or three track lines, and one track line were these big 8-inch across. All I have is the toes, and you can see where the toes are digging in, Marco. Which tells me they're not fake. All you see is like maybe a third of the foot, and the toes digging and going up an incline.
Man, that's pretty good.
I get so spooked in there. That's why I don't measure and stuff.
Understand.
And I'm wondering if I'm being observed.
Well, more than likely you are.
And last time I went in, I had a little bit of trouble finding prints. And I always find prints. It's like I call it the four corners where four trails converge. And
yeah.
One trail leads to the landfill. We followed it right to the landfill. And that's usually where we start seeing the prints. And last time I didn't see any prints there. I saw them in another spot.
Now, when you say landfill, what's the terrain like there, Richard? What kind of terrain? Is it woody, hilly?
Going towards the landfill, it's woody. It's trees. It's like being in the Adirondacks.
Uh-huh. And does it have a lot of bushes and stuff around it as well?
It's an old pine barren. On the right-hand side, say a pine barren. On the right-hand side of the trail, it's mostly bushes that you and I can't get through.
Yeah, like bramble bushes and stuff, yeah?
Right. And I don't want to sound strange. I said to Tom, I swear on all that's holy to me. The second time I went in by myself, I was growled at, all right? And it wasn't very loud, which I would expect. And I had this strange in the same area at the same time I had like this popping, like, you know, like on a windy day in your ears.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound strange, but I'm telling you what I experienced.
No, absolutely.
And another time, and I'll swear on my mother's soul on this, Marco, I heard two voices when I was walking in that same spot to my right in the bushes where I think they might be nesting because you can't get there.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a foreign language, like Japanese or Chinese or something.
Well, I've heard that before, too.
And I said to him, you can stop. As I was walking out, you can stop talking about me now. I'm leaving. Because it freaked me out. But it wasn't, it's not what I'm expecting. You know, real deep, because big animals.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to sound strange on all this stuff. But that's just telling you what I experienced.
Yeah, that's good.
And I do have to build up lately because I know what's in there.
Yeah.
I have to build up my nerve to go by myself. And people hike in there. And I think if people hike in there,
Yes.
With their families? You think they'd be hiking if they knew what was in there?
Well, if these creatures were aggressive and really wanted to, I'm sure by now they would have taken care of you or anybody else. I mean, they're usually pretty inquisitive and it seems curious. And
I have my camera in my hand on, and I have a pretty good camera. It's a 14 megapixel. It even has video on it.
Yeah.
From the time I step in till the time I leave, and I missed that going across the trail.
Wow.
Can't believe it.
That's pretty good. Well, now, so this is a wooded area. Have you looked, are you aware of what tree twists? Have you heard of that, tree twists?
I'm going to send the picture to Tom.
Yeah.
There's a path that's being made that looks like a tank went through with tree branches being ripped, not cut, because they do work in there.
Right.
And if they work in there, they take a chainsaw. These were actually snapped in half, and it looks like at the beginning of the trail, Marco.
Yeah. Yeah.
They broke a tree, and it's still on. The stump is still there, and it's leaning across the trail. And you got to really duck under it to get into the trail. Looks like they're trying to discourage people from going farther up the trail. To me.
Well, very well, to me.
I do see tree snaps in there, and I see new trails being made by something. I said to my granddaughter who was with me,
yes.
I said, what do you think made that? I mean, that looks like a tank went through there. And it does.
My goodness.
Honest to God, it does.
Yeah, I believe you. You said it would look like there might be nesting areas or areas where they might be residing in the heavy brush there.
To the right, in an inaccessible place for us because you can't go through the bushes.
Right, it's real heavy, heavy, thick bushes.
And you know what the park rules are? No leaving the trail, so people aren't going looking in these places. You can't leave the trail. You're not supposed to leave the trail.
I understand. They don't want people to leave the trail there.
There's no fires, no overnight camping. So guess what? At night, they have it to themselves. And last time I was in there,
yeah,
the footprints I did find were following deer prints.
Wow.
They weren't real deep, and it looked like
you had some pretty neat stuff there, Richard. I'm going to tell you.
Well, you know, I'm very observant when I go in, but I'm always wary, you know.
Well, you know, we need to keep in touch with you.
Thank
and,
you. I'm going to send Tom some more pictures. I have more pictures.
Yeah. Well, you send us some pictures, and I'm going to get them put up on the website.
And you know what I get kicked. I know people that go up in the Adirondacks going on a snipe hunt. They don't have to go that far.
No. That's pretty interesting. Well, Richard, I want to just thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us. We're going to keep in touch with you. And as time goes by or if something happens, give me a call anytime or Tom a call anytime or an email or anything and let us know. And from time to time, we'll get you back on the show to share some more information. It's really interesting in some of the things you had there.
I have pictures of the train, Marco. You think Tom would like those?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll send them in. Send them in email. And thank you, sir, for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you don't have to go hang up. You can stay on the line there, and you can listen to the rest of the show right here if you'd like. I'll just get you out.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Bye, sir.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York, and he's had some pretty interesting experiences. We're going to go to, I got to figure out which number it is now. Sorry, Jim. let's see. Here we go. Jim Dawson, my friend, how are you?
Hello, Marco Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, Jim, we've had you on here before, but it's been a while. What's been going on in Arkansas?
Well, you know, the weather's been up and down. It's been cool and then really hot and then cool. And back and forth today. It was rather mild compared to the last couple of days. The heat index here has been between 107 and 120 degrees over the last month. It's terribly humid on some days, and then other days it's not quite as bad. And of course, you know, my home is right down on the river, on the Spring River, and the water's about 72 degrees, and so I just go down and jump in the river every time I get hot, which is about 20 times a day, and it's just wonderful, and people say how hot it is, and I'm sitting in the middle of the river talking on the phone, is it really? I didn't know that. I'm just teasing them, of course, you know, but it has been very warm here. We've been catching a lot of fish, been catching a lot of walleye, a lot of trout, and smallmouth, largemouth bass. Fishing's been great. It's rained the last couple of days, which has been welcome. We've had a long dry spell. It didn't rain for about a month here, Marco Bill, and things got very dry. The river level dropped, you know, 3 or 4 inches or so. And so, you know, it's been hot and dry, and over the last week or so, we've had rain. And I've been out scouting around within about 10 miles of my house on the Spring River. And I have found quite a few signs. I've found tree formations. I've found arches. I've found really significant tree formations. I found footprints, but no toes. I haven't found a toe print one, but I'm talking 18 to 22, 23-inch prints, but there's no toes on them. And so I can't say, you know, I can't say that it's a big footprint. I don't know what it is.
I understand.
But along some of the moist, loamy areas, there's some sand and wood chips and clay mixed in with it, and so it doesn't bode well for footprints anyway. But you can see that something's been walking along the creek beds that lead to the river with very large feet. I'm not saying it's a big foot. I don't know because I haven't seen toes. But the minute I catch a good one with some toes, I'm getting some casting material out, and I'll have a cast.
Oh yeah, great. But now, but on the tree twists, on the tree twists and tree formations, what kind of tree formations have you seen? I'm curious to find out what they look like for you.
We've seen I'm not an aficionado when it comes to tree formations. So what I call them are asterisks, where you'll actually have six or seven branches that are 5, 6, 7 feet long, formed into an asterisk in the Y of a tree.
Wow.
We also found a couple of areas with some tree twists that were 6, 8 feet up, broken over, and twisted. Now, we had some terrible ice storms here over the last couple of years, the last 3 or 4 years, and so there are a lot of trees that are bent over and broken. But it's hard to say that it's a legitimate tree twist from a creature unless it's really, really twisted. And I found one along the road I drive on nearly every day. I just happened to see a tree break, and I got out of the truck and walked about 25, 30 feet off the road near a big cattle ranch, and this was a legitimate twist. It was a big twist.
How thick was the branch or the tree?
I'm going to say it was probably 4 inches in diameter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Man, it's unbelievable strength.
It was a pretty nice sized tree. It wasn't something that just, you know, and there weren't any other broken trees around it. But again, I haven't found any footprints, nor I've been out doing a little wood knocking, and I haven't gotten any responses. But, you know, I just don't know if there's any creatures out around this area right now or not. I've listened to the show a few times over the last month or so, and I also attended the Vermont expedition with Tom where all the berries and mushrooms were still out, you know, all the morel mushrooms were still out. And I kind of agreed with Tom that, you know, these creatures don't know whether to shit or go blind. They don't know what season they're in. You know, one day it's 107 degrees and the next day it's 80. And I just don't believe that we've got a lot of activity up here just because of the heat. Along these rivers and creeks that flow year round, you know, there seems to be some activity, and some of this stuff seems newer, some of it's older, I just officially moved back down to Arkansas about a month and a half ago from Illinois.
Right.
So I haven't really had a chance to get out and spend, you know, 2 or 3 weeks really looking around like I need to. But I plan on doing that over the next few weeks, and maybe I'll have a better report for you.
Well, Jim, you know, along the waterways and rivers and things like that, are there caves or areas where they can habitat or get into large enough for a creature like that to get into?
Oh, sure. We have a lot of outcropping of rocks. This is basically the foothills of the Ozark Mountains, and so we have a lot of rock outcropping. We have caves. In fact, some of the within 25 miles of my house, we have some silica caves, or in Guyon, Arkansas, where they actually mine silica sand. Huge
uh-huh.
Mines. We have some mines around here, and we have some old caves, and we have there's plenty of sheltered areas, along with a ton of deer. Just an overabundance of deer. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, this is Zone 4 that I happen to live in. They say that this is the top zone for turkey in the United States, definitely in Arkansas. And just upstream from me, we have one of the largest trout hatcheries in the United States. They grow millions of trout and release them into the spring and Red Rivers and rivers in Arkansas and sell them to other states. It's amazing to go to the hatchery. It's a free tour. They have snakes in there too. They have a display with rattlesnakes, copperheads, water moccasins, so on and so forth. But they'll let you go into the ponds at the trout hatchery and throw food out. They've got unlimited amounts of food. You can throw them out for the trout, and they've got some 35-pound rainbows in there.
Wow.
I mean, they're just beautiful. And of course, you know, they release large and small trout into the river. Usually they're 11 or 12 inches when they release them. But my nephew caught a 9-pound rainbow last year, and
wow.
He caught an 18-pound walleye 2 years ago.
Ooh.
So, you know, we have some great fishing here. So the habitat for a large animal is huge. I mean, there's plenty of area. The area that I live in, you could walk for 40 miles north, south, east, or west and not see a human being.
Wow. That's something else.
I mean, there's hundreds
Amazing.
And hundreds of thousands of acres. There's one wildlife management area that's over 124,000 acres.
Really?
So we've got some large areas here that are uninhabited, that people, you know, human beings haven't walked in a long time since the Indians. And there's a lot of caves, a lot of creeks, lakes, ponds, streams, a lot of mussels in the streams. I get a kick out of hearing people say that they were on a river and they found clams. They found mussels, actually, is what they are. But there's a lot of mussels in the river and the creeks. And I have not found piles of mussel shells like you do often on the East Coast. I've noticed that from some other folks, some research. And I've been looking at a lot of research that other folks are doing, and there seems to be a fella over in Ohio around Salt Fork State Park that seems to be getting a lot of activity. He's on YouTube, and I think he's Southeast Squatch Watcher. If you just go to YouTube, put in search Bigfoot Sasquatch Researchers, and then filter it down to uploads from the last week or the last month, you'll see some of his stuff. And he posted some pretty interesting stuff over the last month. You ought to go take a look at that. Ohio
wow.
seems to be a hotbed. And it doesn't seem, the weather doesn't seem to be affecting the creatures as much as in Ohio. There are a lot of reports there. Still,
wow.
yes. But we're not having a lot of stuff in Arkansas.
Well, gosh, Jim, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and sharing with us again. We got to have you on again here. Keep in touch, and also just as you're going through things and you find things, let me know, and we'll have you back on share some more information. A lot of things will be going on down there. You keep pretty good track of things.
Well, I appreciate that, and I wish Tom the best with the investors. I know that all the projects are important, everything's doing well, and all the folks in the chat room are being very nice tonight. There's a couple of people in there that are a little negative, but across the board, everybody's being nice and doing well, and so, I've seen a lot worse. And it gets down to this, the bottom line is, you know, some people believe in the creature, some people do not believe in it, and you can believe whatever you want. It doesn't really make any difference, but it's interesting to me that the most educated individuals would tend to say that the creatures exist rather than not exist. There's more evidence pointing to the fact that they do exist rather than that they do not exist. And so, you know, and it's interesting that when I read these anonymous sighting reports on various websites, you know, they're anonymous reports in the first place, and most of the reports start off with, I didn't believe in this, and I'm not sure what I saw then, but now I know what I saw. I don't care what people say.
Yeah,
I know
what
it was. And I find that very interesting. And almost 90% of them are like that. You know, they didn't believe that the creature existed until they saw it, and then now they believe. So it's kind of interesting. I have never seen one. I hope to one day. I was really hoping to see one in our Vermont expedition. It's too bad we didn't, but there'll be other expeditions, I'm sure. And hopefully we'll have a good year, and we'll have more evidence at the end of the year. So again, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I wish you all luck in the world, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Great. Have a good evening. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Good night now. Well, everybody, that's Jim Dawson. And ladies and gentlemen, our next guest. Oops, I had a little hang-up on my keyboard here. John? Are you out
yes,
there, my
sir.
Friend?
Yes, I am.
Well, John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine.
Well, I just want to let you know we finally got you in some time. The last couple times you've been on the last 5 minutes of the show, and it's been.
I kind of take it that I think that I'm getting, you know, like bottle fed here to listen to the show. get me used to listening to the show.
I did tonight, on the last couple of weeks, I've had some drawings, some sketches that you sent me a couple of weeks back, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to www.bigfootlive.com, www.bigfootlive.com, and you go scroll down to the middle of the page until you see the show outline, and right underneath the last entry, you'll see sketch 1, sketch 2, and sketch 3. And those are the sketches of the creature that John saw. Now, John, what I'd like to do just the first couple of minutes is just for you to go through and kind of give us a quick and dirty of, one, your encounter experience, and then, two, I think it's unique because you've seen something that that's not normally reported. It's not the standard report of what the creature looks like. It's a little different. So would you do that for us, John?
That doesn't help me out well, does it? But you know, the fact is, Richard, if he's still listening, I guess he probably might be, he saw the speed of these things. And a lot of people did. You know, I've seen, you know, I did a little looking up on the Internet myself and looking at some of these stories. And, you know, those of us that have seen it, we've got our own view of this entire thing because we've actually seen them. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about something that runs really fast. No way a human. I'm a hunter. I've been a hunter all my life. You know, I've seen deer run that fast, but these things run like deer. I mean, they are so fast. And seeing it as clearly as I did, you know, Richard got a quick little look at it. But you know, I saw this thing run and then come to a stop within 50 feet of me, and I'm standing there looking at this thing and, you know, realizing that, you know, after a few minutes of being mesmerized by it, that if this thing chose, if it saw me for just, you know, or sensed me and looked over this way, it could be on me within a second or two. So, you know, at that point, I turned to my friend and I was going to tell him to, hey, do you see this thing? And he was already looking. And we both had been looking at this thing, and our first reaction was, well, let's just get out of here. So, you know, we dove in our car, his car, and tried to get away. You know, I guess I'm cutting through the whole story. I know I tried to tell it the first week there, but my friend and I, we saw that thing within 50 feet of where we were. It was lit by a street light. I know they exist. I don't, like the other, you know, the man earlier said from Arkansas, Illinois, or Arkansas, he's never seen one, but he's heard how people say they don't care what people think. I don't care what people think. I care for years not to talk about it. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I've, you know, lost it there, but lo and behold, within the short period of time of telling a friend of mine, and, you know, the first reaction is, you know, since they've never seen one, you know, you must be out of your gourd. But I don't really care. What think I saw it. These things are out there. I know they are. I haven't seen one in all these years since then. But I can tell you, I wasn't drunk, and I'm definitely not on drugs. So I definitely saw this thing. I didn't imagine it. It was there. We took off out of the car, and my friend, I'll never understand why, he went up the road about another, I don't know, 7,500 yards or so and stopped. I never did find out from him why we stopped again, and it had caught up to us and was just sitting there looking at us through these large gates of the cemetery. It was just sitting there looking at us, and it was even closer now than it had been, you know, when we first saw it. That picture that I showed you is really, you know, quick drawing. I said, but that face, and I could do a lot better with that, but.
Well, no, but
why
don't you describe it for us? First of all, how big was this creature?
Well, I put it at about the height of a regular person. So maybe it might have been like some folks have tried to say young ones. But then again, like you said, Bill, I agree. I've never heard of anybody describe this thing in all these years. Because, you know,
well, yeah, but what I want you to do is try to describe what you saw. To us, so the listeners can see, because I was really interested when we were talking on the phone. You did a perfect description of all that, and I went through the sketch, and it's really amazing.
You know what, Bill? It actually, you know, I mean, I know it's a good drawing, but that really does represent it. The legs are long and lanky and thin. You can tell they're powerful, obviously. The reason I thought they were powerful is because those legs carried it at that speed. I saw it run for, I don't know, 100 yards before it actually stopped, nearly stopped dead right where in that position that it's in that picture. It ran to that point and stopped that fast and just started staring out, like it had a purpose to get there really quickly. And so the long, lanky legs, those arms are really long and lanky. You know, when it did finally, you know, when it was running, I saw the arms, and they nearly touched the ground, but they were kind of bent when it ran.
Now, what else about the arms? You told me that you'd never seen before. What else about the arms? Something else about the arms, you said.
Well, they look kind of human, but, you know, in the light, I didn't really think they had a human flesh look to the color, but, of course, it's in a bright street light, colors change a little bit.
Yeah,
I kind of recall them being more, you know, less, more like a grayish color skin versus, you know, flesh colored.
A lot of hair.
You know, the hair on the there was some hairs on the arms here and there, but not any great deal. It was basically bare skin from the hip on down.
That's what I was getting at. Because that's something that's unique.
It is.
Yeah. So it didn't have a lot of hair on it. Like a lot of people say, it's got, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches of hair and a real, you know, shaggy looking.
Yeah, and I've heard descriptions of them being manged, you know. Some photos where they showed a manged dog, how you can see this mange had made the skin, you know, show through, the, you know, where the fur was. This is not the case. This isn't something that, you know, I've been a sportsman all my life. I'm an animal person. I know what mange looks like. The skin gets kind of deformed and flabby, et cetera. This looked like healthy skin. This thing was only 50 feet from me. The skin was made to be like it is. In other words, whatever this creature was, you know, it wasn't in any way diseased or... No.
But it just... My point isn't that. My point is... that this is a lot less hair than we normally hear.
Yeah,
and
you know,
that's significant.
The strange thing about the hair, you mean more hair than you're used to seeing?
No, less.
That's all, I see
because
photos.
Because normally they have a lot of hair, and this here, you didn't see a lot of hair. You've seen skin.
No.
And that's good.
And you know, the strange thing about it, if you notice in the paint, I tried to depict there, the stomach area, you know, the abdomen area, you could actually see the muscles. You know how weightlifters' muscles look, the six, whatever they describe. You could make that out. So it
see, that's what I'm talking about. Your description has really got a lot of, it's really unique, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
I mean, I like it.
Look, though, this was not some guy in some...
No.
Oh, I know you're not saying that. Yeah. I'm saying that. Because no human could run like that. I assure you, no human can run that fast.
Okay, could you describe the face, the facial features?
Yeah, I kind of gave a little quick picture there because that's how close the face was. You know, we're only talking 5-6 feet from the car window at that point. So I'm looking right at this thing's face through gates, you know, so the long iron in between. And, that's that gaping mouth. Even on the side view, there was a big gaping, you know, you could see the curvature of its mouth. This thing's mouth, if it opened it, you know, it looked to me like as if it could just, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say something gory or anything, but like it could swallow a, an older child, you know, like just swallow it, that big.
Yeah, it's big, huh?
And, I mean, really big. It looked... The mouth was very, very large and gaping, and the eyes were very large. I wouldn't describe it as being like an ape. I honestly wouldn't. I mean, you know, I know it would be easy, you know, to kind of see ape-like features here, but it didn't act like an ape or look like an ape. It just had this ugly-looking hair. Each individual hair was, you know, thick.
Wow.
I described it the first time as, you know, like almost the thickness of a pencil. And then sort of scraggly towards the neck area. And then, you know, you didn't see a neck. It looked like, you know, like a teardrop upside down. This is what the body looked like. And the head is sort of connected that way. Now, whether the hair hit a neck, I can't say. But it certainly didn't appear to have a neck to me. It looked like the jaw actually, you know, joined right with the, you know, the torso.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't open its mouth, but it certainly looked as though, you know, had it opened its mouth, it didn't have a neck. You know, just by looking at it, I couldn't see that there could possibly have been a neck.
Wow, that's
and,
so cool.
Yeah, it's just an absolutely incredible sight. Knowing that these things are out.
What about the eyes?
Very large.
Was there any color to them or anything?
You could see that they're like an eye, like a human eye has, you know, the pupil, et cetera, but very large eyes. I didn't, you know, nothing like, you know, I've seen heard folks say about them being red, but I'm sure that means we're a spotlight.
Well, I think the red thing is from the inside of the eye, the eye shine part of it, what they're talking about.
Well, there was no light being shined on it when it was that close that I saw a full frontal face of it. There was no light being shined on it. At the point where I drew it, leaning up against that grave marker there, you know, it was well lit right there. You know, I could see it very well. Darker hair. I wouldn't call it black, but I would call it a very, very dark brown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's
amazing, John.
That's
some kind of haunting, you know, scary movie kind of a thing. It wasn't really like some bear that you might associate with, you know, the forest or nature. This definitely isn't at all like a natural thing, you know, like what we used to. Something kind of out of some kind of, I don't know, Twilight Zone thing.
Well, by golly, guess what? We're running out of time already, buddy. John, I want to tell you, I thank you for coming on the show. You did great. I mean, I just love, I wanted you to get that description out to the people because they, the sketches, and you look at the sketches and then you listen to your description of it, it's so unique, and that's something really neat. I mean, it's very few times, you know, there's many different species of these things, we think. We've had several different kinds, and this is a new kind, and it's really interesting. I mean, that's really neat.
Knowing that it's unique, it doesn't surprise me, because I really never associated it with anything else that I've ever heard or seen, like whatever videos or descriptions. I've I've always looked for something in reports that it had bare legs, because then I know what I know. I've seen one, and I've never heard anyone describe what I know I saw.
No, I understand.
So,
well, John, I got to close the show tonight, but I want to thank you so much for coming on again. And what I'd like to do is keep in touch with you, always. And every once in a while, I'll get you back on to, you know, share some more. And if something does come up, call us, you know, give us a call, and we'll get you back on again to share it, okay?
You bet.
And, hey, thank you so much for coming on, John.
You're welcome.
Good night now.
Take care.
Well, everybody, this is Marco Bill, and that's the show for tonight. And just like Tom would say, kudos and salutations. We'll see everybody next week. And keep Bigfooting. Take care, and God bless.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're brought together. Reason for the